Hey, what's up, listeners? Thanks for tuning back on to the YouTube channel, the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, whatever you're finding us. And yeah, I'm excited to introduce to you Ralph Sandoval, who Josh Tan connected me, who's someone I've met through the Landmark Team Leadership Management Program. So I'm very grateful for Josh to be able to connect me with so many of his family members. And it seems like Josh, you have a pretty awesome support system and community around you. So respect to that, respect to you. But Ralph has, you've been promoted a lot of times, right? And you've taken, I see that, you know, this is a lot of promotions. I feel like not many, but you've been with the company for a while, right? So it wasn't like it happened like year after year. But clearly you've done something right where you continuously challenge yourself and push yourself to, you know, get to the director level and take on bigger projects and be able to impact on a much larger global scale. So excited to have you here on the podcast.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
So, I mean, right off the bat, right, I think it's also rare for people to stay at the same company for that long in general.
Yeah, no, you bring up a good point. I think when it comes to loyalty and how people look at careers, there's always this vision and perception outside that, hey, if you want to continue to grow, go outside, find another thing to start, or find another branch or business somewhere else that can grow you, and then you come back. And what we have a term that we call folks that have left, at least with my business, called boomerang employees, where they leave and they come back, and you see them 2 years later, and you're like, oh, welcome back. And of course, it's a much higher position, which, you know, there's nothing against it. By all means, we should all grow, I think, in career and as people with any business, because it's that relationship. But I have been in this business for a while, and I think my loyalty stems a lot from the fact that upon being hired to the business, my original manager, right, the reason she hired me is because she had problems in how she explained and how she wrote in her mind and with her work, right? So she had a lot of challenges that she had to overcome, speech impediment, hearing and whatnot. And when she interviewed me, she asked about, hey, what were a lot of my challenges? And one of my recollections was when I was a kid and being made fun of as a child, you know, in fifth grade, because I said three, twee, right? And so people made fun of me for how I said the word three. But it was just a funny memory that I brought up into the interview, but later to find out that she actually had some challenges she had to overcome and what she did. So it kind of stemmed from that, and it's more an honor of her, even though she has since moved on. I kind of always want to challenge that with everybody I work with. So it's good.
Yeah, it's funny because I don't know if this is a good or bad thing, but in the 14 years you've been with one company, I've literally had 14 companies that I've worked with. And you know, some of these are internships and some of the your college jobs, and right. But still, I mean, to your point, like it is more common to see like people jumping because they think, oh, I'm going to learn something new at a different company, you know? That's funny. And so and you also worked in Vineland as well. So, you know, so I'm from South Jersey, so I'm very familiar with that area.
Yeah. Considering went to school, high school in New Jersey, you know, a lot of the things that I remember in being New Jersey is just being, you know, straight up with people and telling them how you feel, which is always different because when moving to Colorado, you know, the balance here is a lot different. People come up to you and I'm always in the defense because from Jersey, it's like, who are you? What are you, you know, you don't just come up to people. So
it's funny.
It's been a great learning experience, I guess, but I love it out here.
Yeah. Even like how you responded back to me, it was like so kind. Usually when, like you said, when I talk to East Coast people, it's like, what do you want? How, like, you know what I mean? It's like super like straightforward.
Oh, wow, and I turned into a Korean.
But you're just like, yeah, like, let, you know, let's chat first and stuff. And I was like, okay, cool. You know, that's funny. And you went to Penn State. How'd you like Penn State?
I love Penn State. Penn State, my alma mater, is the coolest school, both in just everything they offer and the friends that I had a chance to meet. Definitely a great school. I would say, I don't know, I worked in the creamery over there, you know, University Park. So got a lot of meet a lot of people that way. And it was, my brother came with me too. So he and I roomed together too, Roman. And
That's cool. Yeah. Yeah, I'm speaking with Roman actually later.
Are you?
Man. Tomorrow.
Oh, good luck. He just had a baby. I can't believe you're going to speak to him.
I know, right? I know. Josh did mention that. He's like, he just had a baby. So maybe, you know, but Roman was like, yeah, let's chat tomorrow. I was like, all right.
I spoke to him and I said, I told him because I had the first grandkid for my family. And so I told Roman that the hardest thing I've ever gone through in my life was having a baby. And the couple months afterwards were just so hard, the toll on the body. And, you know, you love your wife, so you want to take care of her, but then you have to take care of the baby too, because you love them both. And it's just the sleep deprivation, I think, is what prevents it from being easy. Mm. So, but good luck with that.
Yeah, I feel like it's funny because a lot of us don't realize like how much our parents have sacrificed for us. Like we kind of take them for granted. And then obviously you've gone through it. So now you're like, wow, like that was not an easy task or feat.
I would agree. I think until you get to the point of where they have, where mm-hmm. you go through the challenges. Although part of me thinks, well, my mom, my dad were in the Philippines, so they had maids to take care of the baby. I think I had it harder, but everyone thinks it was harder. But in terms of genuinely appreciating what our parents have done in our lives, yeah, I think we all grow to that point, and it's always a good thing to bring it up when, especially if they're still alive, to them to say, hey, you do realize. And I remember telling my mom, we rode on their coattails to be who we are in America and succeeding them wherever we believe we thought success was.
Yeah.
So that was really important, I think, to, you know, really acknowledge our parents for all the work that they bring and just the motivation, because, you know, having a kid, they're born into the world, and I don't think there's necessarily motivation. And if there is, it would stem from the curiosity of not knowing or wanting to know, right? So with our parents pressing for motivation and just what success looks like in their eyes, there's a lot to thank there.
Yeah, it's interesting because I feel like a lot of us, you know, maybe the first 20 years of our lives, like I would say, like find ways like, oh, my parents are this, my parents are that. Like, I think a lot of us have like, just like not issues, but like, oh, if I was a parent, I would do things differently, you know? And
I'll say that, for people that think I'll do things differently, it's how do you know what to do? If the only thing you recall and it's ingrained, you know, in your subconscious is how your parents raised you. A lot of the things I do with my kids, and I say my kids, I have one who's my kid and one that, you know, I've adopted basically my stepson, right?
Oh, cool.
And so he's 12 and I see myself as his dad and he as my son. And when I talk with him, I just think of what I'm saying, because how do you kind of work with a child that, one, you know, I only knew him since he was 4. So I didn't have the ability to kind of know him earlier than that. So a lot of the things that I know how to do really stem a lot from my parents subconsciously of how we train our kids on lessons and what we learn. And then everything else, you know, either with our friends or whatever it is that we read to continue to help us develop. That's kind of what we put into practice. But yeah, there's a hard stance, I think, with where I think a lot of the things I see is based on how my parents raised me. And and as a man, you know, the respect versus the love that a woman can provide, you know, there's that love respect relationship that you have too. So
yeah, it's crazy. You know how like Josh is also into like a lot of the healing ceremonies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So this weekend I did one, and oh my God, I was able to like teleport myself into my parents' shoes and see the hardships and the pain that they've gone through, like leaving as a refugee from Vietnam, coming to the US, and just how difficult it was for them to like make ends meet and you know, not come with a dollar in their name, right? And just the struggle. And I was finally able to like truly have compassion of like, it wasn't easy raising three kids, you know? And even though my dad left and didn't say anything and just moved one day and kind of left our life, like I see where he's coming from, you know, like it was difficult. And I was able to finally acknowledge that he did take care of us like the best he could for those like earlier days. And I was able to like finally appreciate it, you know? So that was huge for me.
I didn't know the backstory of your life. That's yeah. No, I think we do a lot of things, especially if you have kids, to show what that love equals, right? You always want, if you love something, you always want to grow it to the extent of wherever that love goes. And I think as people, sometimes we cap it because we've been told or we hear or we see that the extent is here, you know, in this box, when in reality, it was never created to be confined. And it's the point of how far you're willing to sacrifice to continue to grow that.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, it seems like you're pretty aware, like you're a pretty introspective dude in general, right?
Yeah, I mean, I do like delving into who I am. And a lot of it is just how we develop as people. And just, I think it really is heavily what drove me into engineering, is the want and curiosity to try to figure something out. And mechanically, electrically, right? Those are very tangible. Psychology, you know, in the mind, spiritually, psychologically, all of those I always enjoy, because it's not tangible. You can't speak to everyone's mind and their consciousness of where they are today. So it's always just been a cool thing. So
yeah, that is interesting. It sounds like because you're pretty deep into like engineering all the time, you also like the more softer sciences where there's a little bit more up into interpretation. And so for you, it's just interesting to kind of be diving deep into both worlds.
Yeah. I think everyone does, right? So we all have our ability to try to figure it out within our limits, right? And why wouldn't you as a person want to compound that and grow it, right? And that I think is the drive that a lot of people have to continue to want to get to a certain level. But again, just like the love statement, I think people confine themselves heavily because they believe that looks like a certain being or entity or something. And a lot of it is, you know, brought up, I think, with conflict zones that we all find in our life, things that modify or turn our beliefs upside down, right? Where something happens and we didn't expect a certain result. And therefore that belief system of what we had thought in the past is now forever changed. And so we drive down this path and down this path. Ultimately it gets to a point to where you need to decide, hey, is this all in my control or not? And is there something out there that is more in control? I myself am a Christian, so I believe that there's a lot of things that happen in my life that God has stepped in to say, hey, you know what? We can certainly look to use you, or there's things that you want to grow into and want to do. And I see a lot of the be a kind human kind of things, but Love, I think, is the hardest thing that we can grasp, and we're just not supposed to. The one thing no one can truly define, although there's a lot of awesome ways to define it. That's when I married my wife, I told her that the commitment I'm making isn't one that's going to be on paper, but it's really to see the degree of how much truly can you love a person. And just recently found it through a conflict that we had, her and I, about a set issue. And it's money. It's usually always about money, right? Which I knew getting in, right? So we all know, you know, going to relationships that financially, because you're independent coming out and then going in together, that there are always going to be issues. But to the degree of what came out of it was really fruitful for me, because I myself found myself having to change in order to become a different person, even though I'm Ralph, right, in her life. And I told her that I'm finding the hardest thing when you ask couples isn't necessarily communication, even though it should be. But for me, it's knowing that you're going to be changing into a different person. And then once you know that you've changed, having to, at that point, make the same decision to love that other person who also may change, right? Mm-hmm. So you're both changing and you're just having to choose to love them on top of it all. And so that was a very humbling feeling, and something that really grew me as well, to recognize that, yeah, if you're truly committed to loving a person, you will change. But then are you still committed? You know, is your person still committed? Very great. I think I love my wife, and she brings all these great things out, you know, inside of me to think about. And yeah, she says the same thing. She's like, you know, for a person that wants to figure everything out, you want to do it too quick. You forget there's time, you know, which is true. That's definitely some tool I've forgotten in my life, is the ability to leverage time, because we're impatient people.
Yeah, but I think your impatientness is also what has yielded like a ton of results, right, at work as well, right? So it's like, where do you find that balance of, I guess, what you call like surrender and faith and let God do its magic and the universe has my back? And then, or like, what if I just take action and not force an outcome, but what if I just, I'm always producing, you know what I mean? Like, I guess the masculine energy of just getting stuff done, you know?
Yeah, well, I think what helps in being in a, what helps in being with the same company for a while is you do have the technology is second nature to your job, right? Your responsibilities start to become second nature, because you know the ins and outs of how to execute, ultimately how to manage people. And that's what I'm finding right now in the position that I'm in as a director, is in managing projects with people, is it's not so much saying, here's a book, go read it and get your job done. It comes to a point to where you do need to talk with the people. You do need to know who they're, you know, what their name is, what they like, what they don't like, because that's going to be that relationship building. That as a company, are those people there and are they going to be accountable to what you're trying to produce, right? What I've noticed with the people I've hired, and every interview they ask me, you know, hey, what are you looking for? I ultimately just say, I'm looking for a relationship. I mean, it's weird for a company to say it, but at the end of the day, a company is heavily built on the relationship it has with its people. And if its people choose that their ideals and their goals don't match up with the company, then yeah, the right thing to do is to leave, because it doesn't. But if you express what this company is all about and you understand who that person's all about, and if they don't know, they don't know, right? But ultimately you drive to that point where you basically tell to them, hey, what are your goals and aspirations all about? And here's what we could provide. And if that relationship works, then it's a perfect fit, right? If it doesn't work, here are the things that the business can do to get it to work. And here are the things that we can't do because it's a completely different technology. But then you start to separate what the product is and you actually start to look at what the business organization is. And that's truly what it is. It's organic. And so a lot of people forget that good businesses are really true to the form of growing the organic people within it and less about the margin and profit line, because all of those come, right? And it could be, you know, this fancy new Apple or whatever product you decide to sell. But it's really your people that
That's interesting. How many people are you responsible for? Like ultimately as a director, how many people are you impacting?
So our team is small. I used to manage a larger group, which had subsets of others. So that was like 20. But we've reduced my team specifically to the execution and projects. We're like 15, right? So, but they do a lot of work with other engineers in India, other engineers in California, right? So, but my direct people is in the 15 range.
Okay. I mean, that's still like a lot of people, right? And it's, I'm curious because everyone says being a people manager is much different than what you thought when you came into it. Like, what are some of those differences that you wish you knew going into it?
I think we forget that. I'll have to say that the different thing for me is hearing all the little things that get brought up that weren't really a big concern. So you think that everything is black and white, but the questions don't come up until they talk to you on a one-on-one basis where you have meetings to decide, hey, what are the issues? What are the problems? And then you don't hear anything. Everything sounds great. But then when you talk with them individually, little things come up and then you start to paint a picture where you could have alleviated all of it had everyone just mentioned it in the meeting, right? So the biggest challenge I think that a lot of teams have, and I'll call mine a team, is the lack of vulnerability. And that's the thing I always look to encourage, because people don't want to be vulnerable. They believe in order to move to the next level that you have to be strong, you have to know, right? And you'll hear a lot and probably read a lot of emotional intelligence that's paving this new ground of leaders and new way of businesses and how they practice. And I will have to admit, that's very true. You're looking for people that are emotionally intelligent with regards to how they believe in something in order to attack a problem and then get a result. So for people to not be willing to be vulnerable is like pride, right? You're choosing to say, I know, when in reality, you can't teach us, right? I think when it comes to managing people, certainly there are some nuances that I thought could just be like, hey, here's the goal, get to it. And it's not as easy as people think, only because everyone's beliefs are different, right? How they get to a goal, for some people, it has been tailored in their life because how they manage the little things is how they manage the big things. For others, they've never really walked that path, right? They were always told, here's what you do as a next step. So you have different developmental patterns that you have to walk through. And as a leader, I'm supposed to recognize, hey, what development chart is this person on, so that we can give him or her the right situation in order to have them succeed. So that's the balance. And it's fun. I actually enjoy that part of, you know, being a director is being able to walk through, you know, with people, because I enjoy teaching, even though this isn't a teaching job, but I see it as a teaching job.
Interesting. Is it because you feel like people don't like being wrong, so they just don't want to make mistakes, so they don't want to share openly because then people are going to point the finger at them? I guess, like, what's the...
I've noticed that, you know, that's funny you say that, because depending on... Because I have an East Coast and a West Coast group, right? Mm-hmm. And hopefully they don't, I don't know if they hear this, but so on the East Coast group, they're not so worried about the finger pointing. I think as an East Coast, and you know, as a, you know, when I was a kid, we moved from California to the East Coast, and the school was way harder than it was in California. Just like 15 times harder.
Really? Wait, what high school did you go to?
I went to Lopat, and then, yeah. Huh. But compared to, you know, the West Coast, it was, you know, West Coast was easy compared to the stuff that we were being taught in the East Coast. So I'm very happy that I, you know, went in that direction. But what I've noticed in terms of the cultural business practice, right, because I have these two teams, is that the West Coast, they don't care so much about pointing fingers as much as they just want to know the root cause to fix it, right? Versus the West Coast team, they play a little bit more political games when it comes to who's doing the work and who gets credit. And I don't know if that's because success is seen differently or careers are seen differently with regards to who do you charge with getting credit to move up and then they get promoted versus hard work, right? That you would recognize in the East Coast. If you work overtime, then that's normal working condition.
Mm.
But I have noticed that. So I guess it kind of makes sense for me to be in Colorado where it's dead set in the middle to kind of, you know, balance. But yeah, it's definitely different, you know, how people work and how they want to move forward is different.
Yeah, I mean, I've noticed, like, when I worked at LinkedIn, like, us New Yorkers, like, the New York team definitely put in, it seemed like, the most hours out of all the different offices. I'm not, like you said, I'm not sure if it's just, like, in New York, you're just expected to work overtime and, like, you're going to put in, like, the 50 hours a week or even 60 hours a week to get it done. Whereas, like, I remember some of my counterparts on the West Coast and San Francisco and stuff like that, they were like done, like they did 40 hours and like you cannot get them to stay longer than that, you know, which is interesting.
To bring truth into that, they both achieve, right?
Right.
So depending on if you're choosing to work just the 40 hours or choosing to work the overtime, they both achieve. So it kind of begs the question, are we really working ourselves out or is what our time is being placed into incorrect? Because we have another team in Germany and they take off all of August.
Yeah.
So they get much more things done. So, you know, ultimately, I think the United States has it backwards. They should give everyone a month off.
My company is actually based in Germany, or the headquarters in Germany.
Yep.
Yeah. I feel like Europeans get it. Like, I think some places they're doing like a 4-day work week now. And I'm like, that's genius. Cause then you want to get your stuff done so you can leave on Friday. Right. So yeah, I think we have a long way to go.
Well, we just need to change our mental state to not, you know, think it's Friday. Cause I remind my team all the time, like, stop saying, thank God it's Friday. I always tell them every day that you're working with us should be like it's Friday, like you should enjoy it, right? Because to kind of bridge to that gap is kind of like, well, why are you doing what you're doing? You know, I'll give you something else. You know, let me know.
I'm curious because you probably have seen like people that have left your company to go to a different company. Do you notice the difference between people who like stick it out and like will kind of go through the ups and downs, and or people that are like very like as soon as there's hardship, like I'm out.
In regards to who they are as people or their work ethic, well, let me just kind of think about it for a second. I noticed that people that have, you know what it is? It's people that aren't growing fast enough, right? If they don't believe, because there's going to be a debate here on is the amount of money enough for this person to continue to work, because every person has a money in their head, you know, a financial amount. And then you have the people that are driven more for the passion of wanting to do something, right? So every person that I've noticed that left did it for financial reasons. Mm-hmm. And they did it less about the career path, I think. And granted, this could be because a lot of the people I've dealt with is in engineering, and all of their friends did it, and they found that, yeah, they could get a much bigger pay bump by leaving and then coming back. But I think ultimately the people that stayed did it more because back to that relationship of what they believe was right. I mean, we're a water company. We take care of people's water, right? We supply municipalities and other companies their ability to take care of people and provide their product. So if you believe in that as a person coming into the door to be hired, then you're going to want to stick around, because there's a lot of benefit to watching this technology continue to help people and really help all of our communities. That's ultimately, you know, I deal with all the water districts and their communities are growing. Just recently, there's, you know, one in Las Vegas, and the guy called me and said, basically, this is a peak season for them because COVID's done and everyone's coming to Vegas. So they need all this stuff to come, you know, come in so that they could disinfect water and people in Vegas can be great. So there's definitely a lot when it comes to what people's passions are. But with regards to your question, I think the pay wasn't the original range, and the reason for leaving was financial for the most part. When they come back, it's at their own terms, right? So, and they realize that, hey, maybe it wasn't a financial thing and they want to continue their career. They come back and they're doing what they want to do. They're smiling more maybe. So,
yeah. It's interesting because I think a lot of us think the grass is always greener on the other side.
Oh, I have a comment there. Everyone I've come into that have, you know, my boomerang friend that have gone and come back, it's the same green, just called different shit. That's all it is. That is all it is. So, yeah, all the problems that every organization has when it comes to, you know, efficiencies and how they deal with, it's all the same. You know why it's all the same? Because you're always dealing with people. It's always people, right? At the end of the day, rather than looking at someone else's grass, take care of your own grass.
Right.
I think part of the reason why I continue to want to grow my team is, hey, these are, you know, some of the new recruits that I've hired. They're great. And they've had a really good start. One of them came in and read my LinkedIn and realized that I have been in the business for a while. And he actually mentioned it during the interview. He asked me the same question. He asked me, why have you been here so long? And I told him kind of in, you know, so many words that, yeah, I'm not necessarily looking for another green yard. I'm just looking to take care of this one. And if I can show that, then great. I'll be happy because I enjoy this part. I enjoy the teaching part of my job.
Yeah. I mean, there's something to be said about like watering your own grass, your own lawn, right? You know, there's been many times where like, even, you know, I recently got married, but I was like, man, like sometimes it's easier to just leave, right? But then, but then you're like, well, you know, but there's so much good that comes from continuously to work on it. And then, like you said, the layers and, you know, there's a lot more opportunity, right? But yeah, sometimes like you're like, of course it would be easier, but sometimes the easier route isn't always the best route, you know?
Yeah. And you know, that's a good point. My 12-year-old, he's drawn towards easy. So I tell him all the time, he's going to be a great hacker, right?
I love it.
But at the same time, I don't know if it is human nature to choose the easiest route or not. Because if curiosity is what I think it is, and maybe I shouldn't say this because I'm kind of separating my daughter and my son and I'm testing them out, right? So my wife knows, but I'm just saying it. As far as if curiosity wins out over being laziness to just get something, then humanity should always progress. But you know, how we raise our kids and how we grew up as adults, I think has a lot to do with this belief system that we developed as kids. And, you know, I knew my son when he was four. And so before then, right, he was raised by a single mom who didn't have the belief in her life, right, that if she did something wrong and always asked for it, that there should be some control there. And so whatever he asked for, he got. And so, yeah, now he, you know, I see the entitlement that comes with it. And he's definitely spoiled, right? And so I'm in a way trying to break that down for the sake of, still loving him. And it's a separation of loving to prepare him in the future versus loving him to protect him. From him, right. And I just remember making it, you know, split to tell him that, hey, I love you in the way that I don't want to see you having life teach you these lessons. I rather teach you because you're in this house, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So for me, a lot of it is just how do you continue to encourage your kids to grow without getting them too far hurt? And if you put yourself in the future, then you kind of put some stones in the way, knowing that you're there if they get hurt to take care of them, right? And yeah. So it's really interesting. But where was I going with that?
Well, I actually here,